CliffCentral.com.
Yes, indeed. CliffCentral.com, Tuesday, the 21st of December. And we're going to talk in a little while about what's going on in This Is Us. We're actually going to replay an interview we did with the First Lady, Dr. Tsepo Motsepe. And we will speak to you about that in a moment or two. So stick around for that and a whole lot more. Lots of people talking about Dr. Mark's advice this morning, including Ruth Unwin, who says, I drink water in between my beers, not for my gut, but to keep the party going longer. Hey, same sensibility. Very professional. That's very good. I like that a lot. Aqua aerobics. My better half is in great shape for including this, including MTB. Huh. Okay.
Mountain biking.
All right. Listen, lots of people very upset. You've got to like, subscribe, and share, people. What are we doing here? We need to do that. So like, subscribe, and share, please. Get that shit going over the holidays. We need to get people. And by the way, there's going to be a whole lot of stuff over the holidays to keep you entertained. We've also got plenty of really good material that we've recorded over the last few years, which is all going to be on CliffCentral.com. So wherever, whenever, there's going to be something to entertain you and keep you busy. And you just have to join us.
And on the subscribe note, I am giving away R1,000 of my own money.
That's right.
In the COVID economy. Mm-hmm. As soon as we get to 1,000 subscribers on the MKT show. So you can find us on YouTube, the MKT show.
Exactly.
Maybe you win $1,000.
Exactly.
How do we win? Do we just like subscribe?
Just subscribe and you're in the mix. And if you don't win, I didn't decide. It's James, Senz, or Welcome. They decided. And Ryan, blame them. I didn't decide. I'm just paying the money. Please don't blame me, but go and subscribe.
No, do it. Any excuse to win money off of Bulelo should be right on everyone's priority.
Okay. Okay?
Sure, why not?
I want some more money.
No. But it's especially sweet when you take it off of Bulelo. It's fine to win money, but if you win it off of Bulelo, that's even better.
Okay, double joy.
Damn right.
And you keep it in front of him. Ha!
I hate to be the guy who's going to drag everything down here, but I just got to warn you, you may have been paid early this month, right? But you know you got to make that stuff last until January. You know that, right? You know you got to make that last until all the way at the end of the next month. Just saying, because people get
until
carried.
Until the 67th of January.
Yeah, they get carried away now and they go, okay, well, if I can, I've got money in the bank, I'm going to buy this, I'm going to buy that, Yeah, then January hits you and you're like, oh, shit, I've got to wait a whole extra month for my paycheck and there's all these bills that are suddenly there that I didn't expect. Holidays.
You know, Christmas. I don't think you're dragging people down. Mm. I like this conversation. Like, people are so, so ill-disciplined with money especially. I don't know how people live beyond the age of 30. And I think to myself, you're putting yourself, you know, I hate to bore you with these things that I always talk about, but one of my core principles is actually two principles, is I always try and put myself in positions to win in life. But if you can't win, make sure you can't lose. That's so important. It's like, don't put yourself in positions where you're going to lose in life. And a one-way ticket to losing is letting your money get out of control.
Absolutely.
And I just...
100%. See, this is bad advice.
Good conversation to have.
Here's terrible advice for you. Yonda says, morning team, I say blow the money away, live on water and tequila. That way you will lose weight and have a good gut. While at it, pump like a rap star for the core. Yes, says Yonda.
Thank you, Yonda.
No?
Yonda, good. I thank you.
Are you with Yonda?
Yeah, man. Like, any little money, any little change, any little 50 rand that I find in a jacket that I haven't worn in any little money, I need to enjoy it. I'll spend it. Why? Because that money will come back to me. If I hold on to my money like, you know, oh, I cannot use this because I'm going to need to. What if I die tomorrow? I'm sorry. But I'm
well, then don't worry. Oh, yeah. But Levang, I'm with you. I'm with you about finding money in that is my favorite money in the world. In pants
bonas
that I haven't seen in 3 years. Oh,
bonas.
My goodness.
There's no better feeling. And you're like, oh, how did this jacket know that I needed this $50 now? I needed it today. Straight to McDonald's, play McFlurry, and you're done.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, so Ruth says what she does is she pays a lot of her bills now for January. Then it's done and dusted, and then she knows how much she's got left. That's not a bad way to go. In other words, you pay in
advance.
That's
a great way to go.
Right, you pay in advance.
Great way to go.
Yeah. Okay, that's sensible. I like that. Okay, good. Because I was busy paying. I was paying some bills yesterday, and I thought, oh shit, I mustn't forget January's coming. Gonna need that money again. The same money doesn't go twice. You know what I'm talking
about. You know who forgets these freaking debit orders. You think they'll give you a break and they'll be like, oh no, it's the end of the year, you know, let's let them breathe. Nope, you just gotta text saying, by the way, tomorrow we are just debiting our money, and if it's not there, just know we're still gonna debit it. Somehow, somewhere, they just are always gunning for their money. And hey man, job, get job.
Absolutely. So, okay, I just want to find out, because this is something that comes up often on the show, but Bulelo has discovered some names that people have given their children at schools in America. And you got to be careful. We've discussed this a million times, but you've got to be careful what you name your kids, because if you give a kid a stupid name, then it's never going to end up amounting to anything. Like if you have a ridiculous, stupid, or unpronounceable name, you're creating problems for your life. You said just now, Mbulelo, you don't always have to win, but at least don't lose. Don't start your kid off by calling them something absolutely terrible, and then they have to start at a disadvantage, really.
No, I really think it should be a school subject. It should be a school subject as to the consequences of people's names, because there's a guy, so obviously for me it's sport, that is my Jehovah's book, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy in America who's just been drafted or he's been recruited to the University of Nebraska,
mm-hmm.
his name is DeColdest. DeColdest.
Come on.
DeColdest.
Come on.
Hey, yo, DeColdest. And I thought to myself, this is crazy. That's not the best part. DeColdest. Hey, yo, DeColdest.
That's what's up.
But his, Lebang, you're going to love his second name. DeColdest Juan. The coldest one. Yeah.
How do you spell that? Is it DeColdest?
Oh no, Gareth, you don't know the hood like that. D-E apostrophe up dash upward dash coldest. DeColdest. DeColdest.
Jesus.
DeColdest Juan. But DeColdest Juan is his name. DeColdest Juan Crawford.
Oh my God.
I can't be mad at that. I cannot be. That is like respect for free. Imagine you're in class and the teacher's taking like all the names. Sarah? Okay, cool. Daquan? DeColdest? I mean.
That is like, how good. Yeah. That's his actual name, though.
It's his actual name. DeColdest Juan Crawford. And I thought to myself, outside of being a rapper, a gang-banging gangster member, or American football wide receiver, what are his career options? Because obviously I'm conservative. I thought to myself, let's just say DeColdest is cold with the books as well. And now he's going to, his application goes to Harvard. Let's say he comes from, I mean, that name lets me know he comes from a certain part of life. But let's say a little girl, you know, she's Sarah Hawkins from the same part of town. You know, she's also a straight A student. Now that lands at Brown, Harvard. And now hoity toity there.
Yeah.
DeColdest?
Hell no.
You're out.
Yeah.
Sorry. I think DeColdest at Harvard. DeColdest so that they can have a little bit more personality at Harvard. I mean, how many Sarah Watsons are there? There's probably like 400 Sarah Watsons already enrolled at Harvard. They're going to throw DeColdest in so that they can get their BEE numbers.
Spice, yeah.
And look at us. It's so inclusive.
Jesus,
but DeColdest is crazy. You can't name your child DeColdest.
No,
come on, guys.
That's the worst.
No, man.
So,
DeColdest. Yeah, Annette, so that's the world we're living in.
Annette says, my mom had a kid in her class called Welcome Adonis. That's great. Hermine says...
Last night I learned of a guy called Service Provider, by the way.
Oh my God, no. Hermine says, when my mother named me, she obviously envisioned me becoming an Afrikaans teacher in Klerksdorp. Yeah, shame, Hermine. That's not a great one, eh? Service Provider, are you kidding?
Yeah, Service Provider. I was alerted at supper last night. I was telling everyone about this this name, and he said, "Have I got one for you? Service Provider."
No,
I said, "No, come on, Service Provider." And then, because the people I was with are some of the more incorrigible people you'll ever meet. Then it started coming out. SIM card. They say they know a SIM card guy.
No.
SIM card.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
And
dude.
So, you know,
that's outrageous.
That's very embarrassing.
But I also blame celebrities. You know, they often give their kids names that are like obviously there's Kim Kardashian, Kanye West. They've got a kid called Northwest, which is ridiculous. You've got people like Frank Zappa back in the 70s called his kids Dweezil and Moon Unit. You've got, what's his name? Chris and Gwyneth Paltrow, Apple and Zuma.
Apple.
You know,
isn't somebody's kid named Blanket? Was it Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson.
But that's what
he ended up calling. That wasn't like a nickname. His real name is even worse. It's Prince Michael II or something. His name is Prince Michael II. I mean, it's ridiculous. Celebrities.
Yeah, no, they people get a bit too excited. But at the same time, there is really no book, right? There's no way to name your child. You literally can decide to fuck up this child's life before this child is even here.
Yeah.
That's the power that you've got. And if you're giving that power to, like, people that don't know how to use it, then you're screwed.
But that is why what Mbulelo's saying is like it should be a subject that you do at school. You're forced.
100%.
They will take you through some names from different cultures all over the world. I mean, you don't have to have boring, bland names if you're Irish. You don't have to just choose Irish names. But let's choose names that are not going to limit you. It's fine if it's a bit, you know, a bit different. It has some flair. Maybe has, a couple of sounds in it that people don't expect. It's fine as long as it's pronounceable and as long as it can get you ahead. But it mustn't actually retard your development. It mustn't stop you from getting somewhere.
And also, don't try and connect to so American black people. I've got a massive problem with what they're doing now, thinking they're the president of blackness, and I have had for a while. Mm. Is that they make this motherland mistake all the time? And I learned of an electrifying name, by the way.
Mm.
Apparently, she's in Spider-Man. I didn't know her. Zendaya, by the way.
Oh yeah,
this lady is called.
Yeah.
Zendaya.
Okay. But here's what happened there. Her father went all Black Panther, right? And he's of Nigerian origin. He's given his child a name which is actually from Zambia or Zimbabwe. It's a Shona name.
Mm.
So he's gone with the whole, but he had no clue what was going on. He went Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not do that as well. I agree with the, you know, we must teach you what the name means, where it's from, just so you don't go motherland and now you got Zendaya and it's a mess.
Yeah, because
I'm not mad at that. Like, I'm not mad at that. Like, on one end, it's like you are African-American. You've obviously been completely disconnected with your Africanness altogether. If this is your way of, like, just paying some sort of homage to where you're from or, like, your lineage or whatever the case, I mean, go for it. I mean, Zendaya is a freaking hit. Whether they knew what they were calling her or they didn't, I don't think that's the thing. I mean, we can't be mad that they're trying to embrace a side of them that was ripped from them.
Nah.
You could ask us. We're available now. We don't live under a rock.
Yeah,
ask us. We know what's happening.
You can actually ask people.
Yep.
Yeah.
You just
get
ask
on the
us.
Internet. You can
we're
do
here.
It. Like
yeah.
this is
just because you're American.
You see, my problem is like you have resources at your disposal now. You can research these things. You are getting this person stuck with that name for the whole of their lives. They're going to be. It's going to be what people call them forever. Now, if you're going to choose that just on a whim, having done no research, having asked nobody who might know, then you're not a careful, considered person. You obviously don't give a shit. So Kawe says that she is Zimbabwean. Apparently.
Who?
Zendaya. No?
Zendaya.
Is she?
Oh, well, I did some I looked into her father, and he has Nigerian heritage.
Okay.
So I don't know where the Zimbabwean part comes from, unless mom, but although.
This is amazing.
Hey, man, it's a beautiful name. It's a fantastic name, and it probably means some cool shit.
Yeah, I don't mind Zendaya. I don't know why you don't like that one, Mbulelo. But it also says, I know Big Balls Sibanda. Big Balls Sibanda.
Wow.
That's a great name.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He's a cracker.
Unless that's so bad.
Yo, Big Balls.
Dude69 says people should stop giving names to their kids of something that they've eaten or seen sometime in their life. Yeah, agreed. Yes.
Yes, Dude69, you are the guy I'm going to listen to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, so a couple other comments about funny names, but we always get a lot of those. So if you have any of them, send them to us. New Year's just around the corner. I hate to be the one to bring this up, but you know, this week is Christmas, next week is New Year, and then it's 2022. And you know, there are all these people who have a premonition of what the new year will bring. And you've got these people who are starting to say, oh, well, I went to my psychic, or I went to my numerologist, or I went to my crystal healer, and I've found out that 2022 is going to be X, Y, or Z. Have you heard any of that stuff this last while?
Of course. Have I heard any of that stuff in the last while? Gareth, I live in the northern suburbs of Coburg.
Go on.
Have I
heard? Tell us what you've learned.
Next year's my year, you know. And it's just, what's really important for me is to start manifesting it now. And also it's just important to find a space to hold at the moment.
Hold the space.
Because I need that space. Because I want to be in 2021 and 2022 at the same time. And with energy, remember, it can go forward or backward. These freaking lunatics are out here in the northern suburbs. Some of the pleasures of living here are ruined by these people, Gareth. Have I heard? And these are people I love, by the way. That's what annoys me.
Yeah.
There's three or four people who I love and I would do anything for. These are the monsters that I have to hear this.
I
don't know what to do. I'm such a victim.
So you got people. Someone gave me the numerology breakdown for this coming year.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yes. It's 2022, so it's 2 and 2 and 2, right, which gives you 6. So it's going to be a year of, what is that, your crystals? What have you got there?
Yeah. While you're talking, I'll touch the crystals so that the energy is good. Yeah. Those on the podcast, so that's me holding the crystals.
Well, it's a number 6, and in numerology, a number 6 means you've got to focus on the home. It's a time for family. It's a time for relationships. It's a time to make sure that you're emotionally connected and connected with people you care about, and that you allow yourself to be reached emotionally and all of that stuff. Hey, if that's your thing, that's what the numerologists are telling us about next year. I just thought I'd bring it up.
That's also not bad advice. Like if you look at it, that's not a bad thing.
Right.
Sure, it may be like clouded or like some nonsense, but if you sit and take that in, nothing bad will come of it. Also, if somebody says, 2022 is my year, dude, encourage them. Like every year is allowed to be your year. Go for it, buddy. Do your thing. Just don't tell him Mulelo, but go for it.
Yeah, because he will mock you. He will mock you relentlessly and make you feel bad about your life choices. Don't fall for that crap. If you're into the crystal healing, you go for it, Shannon, or whatever your name is. Knock yourself out.
Taylor. It's always a Taylor. It's always Taylor with an A. Those are the ones to stay away from. Yeah. Taylor with an A at the end. Taylor, L-O-R, not bad. Taylor with the A at the end. Boy. It's a bottomless pit.
So, again, over the holidays, the only thing I can say that's going to be useful advice, because I'm not the dispenser of good advice, but stay away from the people with the blue, the pink, and the green hair. Those are usually people who are just waiting to cause trouble for you, and they are psychopaths and lunatics and socially awkward and very complicated. So, please, I would really like you to just promise me one thing. Just stay away from the people with pink, green, and blue hair. That's very important.
So look at Lebang's girl children.
Look at Lebang's hairstyle.
Mm.
We need to put Lebang's hairstyle on, because it's got that. I'm expressing myself, but it's put together. She's put some effort into it. It looks, it's tight. There's people that are doing too much with that pink and blue. I agree. Look at Lebang expressing herself, but that's still, she could be going to work. She could be going out to a party. it works. She's rocking it. Lebang, you must do a seminar.
Thank you, Mulalo. But let me be honest. Before I, you know, got here, I was the pink, the green, the orange. I always had bright colored hair, guys. Yeah. Always. Like, that was part of my self-expression. And, you know, I was just doing me. I wasn't crazy. I wasn't enforcing it on anyone. You know, I was just like living my best life. So I don't
Nobody, nobody who's crazy has ever said I'm crazy. Just so that blue hair is enough. Yo.
Sorry.
No, Gareth, you're too right. You're doing God's work.
I'm staying away from the people with the pink and the blue and the green hair this holiday, and I'm going to make sure that they are nowhere near me, because everywhere they go, they spread tremendous amounts of disenchantment and unhappiness, discontentment, and they're not stable people. So I'm just going to say it again. We don't need those people ruining our Christmas and New Year. Ludacris says, my wife just told me that if 2022 is even two-thirds as good as 2021, she'll be happy. Now, that's real. Sure.
Fantastic.
Two-thirds as good as 2021. I don't know people who've loved 2021, hey? I don't know anyone who's gone, and listen, I'm an optimistic guy. I'm a happy person. I haven't had the worst year ever. I know many people have been very, very challenged this year. But I will say this. It has not been our favorite time as human beings in 2021 for all the obvious reasons, right? So if next year is better than this year, I'm in. I'm in for it. I didn't hate this year, but I didn't love it.
What was the gentleman's name again from the coin shop yesterday? He had
Rail,
such a great saying.
Rail Denby.
Rail had a great saying. When in doubt, zoom out. If you actually zoom out, last year wasn't that bad compared to 1944.
Sure.
Like, I loved what he said.
Sure.
When in doubt, zoom out.
Mm. No, that's very good. That's absolutely right. I don't know if this is true, but Jared says, have you ever heard of this thing called aposematism? Aposematism. That's not something to do with Jews, I promise. That's anti-Semitism.
I was thinking bondage or something. Sorry.
Aposematism. I don't know if this is, I have no idea if this is actually true or not, but why should I not believe Jared? He says, it's the idea that brightly colored animals are warning others of their toxicity. It sometimes applies to humans as well, hey? Maybe that's what it is with the blue and the green and the pink hair.
So I didn't know that was the term, but Jared, I must add a layer to that. So nature, because it's about 4.6 billion years old, unless you believe in the book, then this part of the seminar is not for you. But nature does something called mimicry as well. So sometimes they go brightly colored, but they aren't toxic, and those are the ones you actually need to look out for, because they're just liars.
I mean, there are all these examples, and I did look it up. It is a real word. Not that I didn't believe you, Jared, because, you know, people, they get so sensitive if you do this. But I looked it up, and it does turn out that many of the animals in nature that are poisonous are aposematic, I suppose that's what you'd call it. So here's a range of animals that are all brightly colored, but they're all very poisonous. So there we go. There's a thing. So if someone has brightly,
take Jared's point though.
So pretty, but they're also toxic as hell. So maybe he makes a good point. That is what is going on with these people with the color, the brightly colored hair. Okay, and last word. Oh, for God's sake, why is this happening?
Young and excited, and literally every other month it was like pink today, orange tomorrow, like bright yellow another month. I had so much fun back then. Like, it was highlights of my life.
When
I still have different
We already know you completely lunatic, so this is not going to work. You're a nutcase. You've always been a nutcase. All right. Sorry about that.
Look at you now.
I don't know why my stupid internet was disconnecting this morning, but we'll figure that out. Tomorrow morning, we are back with some more, and we're here on Thursday and Friday as well, and then we are out of here, and we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back in the new year, we've got lots of excellent and exciting things that we've got lined up for you, and lots of things that we're pretty amped to start from scratch, new stuff that we haven't done before. So stick around for a whole lot of taking things up a level, which is what's going to happen in January next year. So whatever you may believe in numerology or in crystal healing or in any of that stuff, but next year we're going to have lots of really good stuff on the show for you. And plenty of good guests, by the way. Dean says, as a final thought for this morning's discussion, why are divorces so expensive? Because they're worth it. Very good.
That's my favorite. I've never heard that one.
So I want to.
I love that.
I want to wrap up this morning with an episode of This Is Us. It's going to be slightly different to the other episodes, and we decided to replay something that we started when we basically launched This Is Us in September of this year. We're entering the festive season. There are going to be a lot of children who are enjoying their school holidays, looking forward to starting a new grade in the new year. But there are many other children in South Africa who have been really badly affected by the impact of extended lockdowns, COVID-19, as well as the devastating looting that happened in July of this year. Now, we did an exclusive interview with Dr. Tsepo Motsepe, who's South Africa's first lady. She's also patron of an organization that I've tried to help where I could, the Early Care Foundation. And she shares her thoughts and passion about the importance of early care for children in the interview. The ECF, or Early Care Foundation, is an organization that is dedicated to increasing awareness and access in early childhood development in disadvantaged areas through upskilling women, providing support for home-based creches, and it has launched the hashtag No One Left Behind campaign to help get at least 1,000 kids in South Africa back into a stimulating learning environment and provide a roadmap for women back into employment. So how can you help? Well, for just 400 Rand a month or 4,800 Rand a year, individuals and companies can enable a kid's return to school. This is also an option to sponsor a teacher's salary at 4,000 Rand a month. But if you want to help out, you can do that by following the links on cliffcentral.com. But you can also go to earlycarefoundation.org. That's earlycarefoundation.org. And without further ado, here is the First Lady in an interview that we did with her just earlier this year. It wasn't even that long ago. Dr. Tsepo Motsepe. Hang around for this and a whole lot more. We will see you for the live show tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Lebang, enjoy your holiday. We'll check you later.
Godspeed, y'all. Love you.
Very good. Thanks, Mbulelo. And here it is, the First Lady of South Africa in an interview, an exclusive interview she did with us this year in September. We thought we'd let you know about how you can get involved in the Early Care Foundation if you don't already know about it. When we think about the future, we need to think about the children. Did you know that the first 1,000 days of a child's life are critical in shaping the future? With the devastating impact of the coronavirus pandemic and the subsequent lockdowns, thousands of early care practitioners and parents have lost their jobs, which means that thousands of children in vulnerable communities have lost their access to safe, educational early care facilities and associated daily nutrition. How can we help? The Early Care Foundation, an organization I've had a long association with, has launched the No One Left Behind campaign for us to help get children back to school. And it's my honor to introduce our First Lady and patron of the Early Care Foundation, Dr. Tsepo Motsepe. It is a great pleasure to welcome you, Dr. Motsepe. Very nice to see you.
Thank you very much, Gareth. And it's true, you've supported us. You've gone with us to events in Soweto at the Lindo Auditorium, and you've been very, very supportive, mostly in raising funds. In the past, it was when we didn't have the pandemic, when the economy was not challenged like it is, and it's very true. The practitioners who run the early childhood development centers have also been affected. You know, these ladies and men who run their backyard creches, either in the garage, in their houses, or in a container, have also suffered in their businesses because the parents could not afford to bring the children to the creches. Now, as far as the children are concerned, you did say it already, this is the place where most of the children, 4.5 million children in South Africa, depend on the only nutritional meal that they receive from the creches. So during the pandemic, because parents couldn't pay, children couldn't go to the creches, and they were deprived of the stimulation that you've also said it's so important, you know, they're the children.
Critical.
It's very, very critical. It doesn't just start during the first 1,000 days, as you've also said. It is from inception that the mother eats well, so that the cognitive development, you know, the child's brain and development depend a lot on the nutrition that they receive. Apart from that, these early childhood development centers where the children go to are actually mandated by the law. You know, the law says that the Department of Basic Education says that before children go to grade zero, they have to be exposed to early childhood development. Now, we in the Early Care Foundation, we make sure that the children are in a safe, secure, stimulating environment. Safe as in sometimes the parents under normal circumstances are at work, the child is in a safe
space. They're unsupervised.
Of course, unsupervised. The children receive meals, they are stimulated, they are taught.
But what I'm saying, is that the kids often, if they don't have these facilities, find themselves unsupervised. Both parents might be working. They might even be in child-headed households. Yes. We know the social problems we have in this country.
Especially in the most disadvantaged communities, where we have to make sure that as we rise, we make sure that the whole community rises. I was going to say that, you know, the ladies and the practitioners who run these creches, we in the Early Care Foundation, we make sure that we train them. We have courses that are accredited. We've developed courses that are accredited with the sector, education and training sector, to make sure that the ladies who look after the children are not just childminders.
Right.
They do it with knowledge. They are professionals. And we also remind them that apart from being a place of education, they are running a business. And we try as much as possible to ensure the financial sustainability of the business.
Dr. Motsepe, you are a medical doctor.
Yes,
by training.
I am.
So
I
you're
am.
Not just speaking about this in a theoretical sense. You know what you're talking about. You specialized actually in some maternal care and age care and that kind of thing. So out of all the things that you've spent the many years, you know, before your life did become a little more political, not that you're a political person, but you've spent a lot of time dealing with this. Why is it so close to your heart?
Why is it so close to my heart? Well, I wouldn't know. When I did my master's, it was in maternal child health and aging. And I got exposed to studies of children in different communities where there was good nutrition within the same society. You know, children who were just divided by a road. Those are the real scientific studies that were done where you find that even the diameter of the skull in the child who is well nourished from the during the first 1,000 days of birth is better developed than the child who's malnourished. And making sure that the children receive proper nutrition and, of course, stimulation during the first 1,000 days of their life, we make, you know, it's possible for them to reach their full potential.
It's almost like a hardware versus the software problem. If those kids don't receive the nutrition and the care and the stimulation at that early age, then it almost makes it harder for them when the education stuff starts to kick in to be able to absorb these things, right?
Gareth,
so you're setting them back.
Gareth, you've been to some of our creches.
Yes.
And you how well-nourished and how curious they are. You've spent time, even when we've had Nelson Mandela. I think there was one Nelson Mandela day where you came and helped with whatever it was, you know, sure that the environment...
For some of these children, that might be their only good meal that day.
Yes. You've seen how well-nourished those children are. And you've also seen the facilities that we try and promote, that the children, you know, that the creches are well resourced.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, they've got to have everything that makes it possible for the children to be like the children in other
more privileged societies.
Yes.
I'm always blown away by the difference that it makes to kids if they do get this early on. And I think that it's probably the best chance we have in South Africa of having a generation of people who can really excel and who can compete with the rest of the world. Because if you arrive at school and the first thing for you is to think about how hungry you are, it's very difficult to learn. And as for the resources that are provided there in terms of education and entertaining the children and allowing them to play in a place that's safe, where there aren't dangerous adults on the street. You know, we also know that there are very nasty things that happen to children if they're left alone without adult supervision, and particularly without responsible adult supervision. So this is essential. Tell me a little bit about these practitioners, because I think they deserve a lot of the credit, and you also provide a huge amount of support to them.
Yes, the program that we run is really like an incubation program, in that apart from exposing them to the, you know, giving them these accredited courses that are accredited with the Sector Education and Training Authority, we also ensure the financial sustainability. You know, most of the training that these ladies, they come, they themselves do not have, are not well qualified. So we've got to make sure that the material that we use, like the textbooks, are in animation, are in animated form. They are drawings.
Right.
To make sure that they understand the message. So most of our textbooks are like comic books, and they explain everything that the ladies have to get from the courses. We have trainers. We normally make sure that we have about 20 crèches that are in close proximity, and our trainer goes from one crèche to another. Once a week, they go to the facility itself and work with a practitioner to make sure that everything at the crèche is all right. And then once a week, all the ladies who belong to the forum, there are normally not more than 20. They go either to a hall or to a place where they get their lectures. And some of the lectures are in acting form. They actually perform some of their lectures to make sure that the message stays with them and they understand it completely. We help them we make sure that they comply. You know, the regulations that are based by the Department of Education are very tough. Yeah. They have to comply with 6 government departments. On their own, they wouldn't. And once they do comply with the departments, then they receive a grant from Department of Social Development, which is 17 rand per child per day, which amounts to 374 rand a month.
Wow.
Per child.
It's not a huge amount of money.
Well, you know, we do not discourage the practitioners from also making the parents pay. Because most of the time, the parents pay with the money from the grant.
Yes.
And they cannot afford, most of the time, they can't afford more than 100 rand
and
90
is also,
rand.
This is also where the Early Care Foundation helps, because you are raising funds all the time.
Yes, we raise funds.
For many of these crèches across
the
country.
We do raise funds. Continuously. We do raise funds continuously. And as I said, it's for the resources.
Yeah.
And also to make sure that the business is sustainable. Now, once the children, you know, most of the time when we come to new crèches, you find 90 children in a container. The practitioner takes as many children as possible so that they have an income.
Sure.
But once they comply, where the department says each child has to have a space of 2.2 square meters per child, they can reduce the number of children they take because they know that they will receive a grant from the government, and at least it doesn't affect their income. Another good thing is that they become employers, and that also has an impact on the unemployment problem that we
Absolutely.
Have in our country.
So we're solving a number of problems here all at once. Mm. And I think the Early Care Foundation has done incredible work. It must be quite gratifying to see, even though I've known you long enough to know that you're not the kind of person who takes personal joy and pride in these things. You like to see that that good is being done.
Well,
it must be gratifying to know that you've helped so many kids and that the Early Care Foundation has helped so many
kids. We are very lucky that we have very good staff. You know, the people who've been involved, who run the program. And I end up getting all the, you know, the admiration, but I'm on the shoulders of other people who do the work.
Yes.
And they are the people who go to the provinces all over the country. You know, we have been involved in four provinces: Gauteng, Limpopo, Free State, and the Western Cape.
Wow.
Yes, even the Western Cape. We have a committee, and we also have a development board.
Right.
The development board, you know, there's the trustees, like every organization has to have a board. And then we have a development board, who are people who are like our ambassadors. They come with their special skills. They come, they help us with fundraising, and also with whatever special skills, whether it's legal, it's fundraising, it's
advisory stuff, all of that.
They come with special skills that help the organization.
Do you think that the pandemic has made it more difficult for the Early Care Foundation? Has it made it harder for you to access funds, to be able to distribute the funds?
You know, some of our funders, some of the companies that used to give us money annually have not been able to, because they themselves were affected by the pandemic. And that, of course, has a trickle effect, in that it means that we do not receive the funding that we had budgeted for, and then we have to cut some of the programs. We cannot do whatever we wanted to do. It's not just the economy that has suffered. The owners of the creches have not been able, because the parents were not working. The parents couldn't pay because they were not working. That resulted in the children not coming to the creches.
Right.
And of course, in that way, then the children are not exposed to the safe, secure, stimulating environment where they get the nutritional.
Are we going to be able to catch up? Will we be able to fill the gap?
Well, we do hope. That is why we are asking the public to help us. We are hoping to raise, you know, at least if an individual donated 400 rand a month,
right,
that would make it possible for a child to come back.
So if I give 400 rand, there's a child that's going to be put through.
Definitely.
Crash.
In a year, if you donated 4,800 rand,
that's
that would make
year.
It possible for the child to come to the crash for the whole year. And that alone will make such a big difference to this child's life.
It's a terrific initiative. I'm sure that there are lots of people who would be willing to do that.
We hope so.
This is the future of our country we're talking about.
You are talking like Mandela. That is what Nelson Mandela said.
There's no bigger cause. There's no greater need for us.
Yes, that is what Nelson Mandela said. A society that looks after its children. I forgot exactly the quote, but you said it already. Yes, that is exactly what we have to do for our children.
I'm just very impressed with the work that's already been done. I think that this is a great cause that everyone should get behind. I appreciate your time. I know how busy you are, and I know how much you dislike doing interviews.
I'm very willing to make interviews that are related to the work that we do. But when it comes to personal, I mean, why should I talk about myself?
Well, you are a mother, so you also understand
things from
that point of
view. I am a mother. I'm more of a social worker, really, than a medical doctor.
But you're not the kind of person who likes attention. You're not out there trying to get noise.
Please. Thank you.
Well, I'm very grateful.
You know me well.
Well, I'm delighted to know you.
From all the time that you've been with us.
I'm just grateful that you and the terrific people like Ipeleng and the rest of the Early Care Foundation are doing such a good job.
And of course, we also have to thank the people who were there before, you know, when there were only two people who ran the organization, Deirdre Caldwell and Richard Ferrer. They were doing everything, the two people, and were lucky to get Ipeleng and the practitioner and the trainers. We have a very, very good thing, and I really have to say thank you to them.
Well, thank you
very
much. For
the good work that they are doing.
Thank you, our First Lady.
Thank you
very much. And,
thank you.
And well done to the Early Care Foundation. A really tremendous job, and something we all need to know about. If you didn't know about it before now, now you know, and support them if you can. CliffCentral.com